Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm really honored to be here with Senator Lugar and Representative Kaptur to discuss with you the current developments in Ukraine and in U.S. policy. As you've requested, I shall try to summarize the longer statement that we will introduce into the record and provide an assessment of the problems in the election that led to the current crisis, our position on the efforts aimed at resolving the crisis, lessons learned from the earlier votes that could be useful in helping avoid a repeat of the fraud and abuse, the role of U.S. policy in helping to resolve this crisis, the impact of the current situation on other countries in the region, and an assessment of U.S. policy options for the period after the situation is resolved. Mr. Chairman, more than a dozen years ago, Ukrainians chose freedom and independence and set their country on a path toward democracy and prosperity. This path has not been easy, but the Ukrainian people have remained committed to the principles of independence and self-determination. We now see the depth of that commitment on the streets of Kiev and all over Ukraine. The current crisis arose because the Ukrainian people rejected the massive fraud and abuse that characterized the November 21st second round of the presidential election. Senator Lugar, in Ukraine as the president's representative, and who's testified before you today, noted a concerted and forceful program of election day fraud and abuse with either the leadership or cooperation of governmental authorities. The OSCE report said that the election did not meet a considerable number of international standards and assessed it less favorably than the tainted first round of the election on October 31st. Specifically, on the election day on November 21st, there were significant violations to include the following: illegal use of absentee ballots, opposition observers ejected from most polling stations in eastern Ukraine on the election day, what the OSCE termed a North Korean-style turnout in the east, with 96% reported voting in the Lugansk Oblast alone, mobile ballot box fraud, computer data allegedly altered to favor Prime Minister Yanukovych, and some reports of opposition fraud. To be sure, reports and evidence of pro-Yanukovych fraud greatly outweighed those indicated for Mr. Yushchenko. The final figures announced by the Central Election Commission showed a victory for Yanukovych with 49.46% over 46.61% for Mr. Yushchenko. It is impossible to know what the real numbers were, but clearly a large-scale, nationwide anonymous exit poll conducted by a consortium of three highly respected organizations and partially funded by the United States government projected Yushchenko the winner with 54% to 42% for Mr. Yanukovych. Other exit polls and parallel vote counts indicated similar results. On November 22nd, the Central Election Commission announced preliminary results showing Yanukovych in the lead. Yushchenko supporters began pouring into the streets, wearing orange ribbons and scarves, the color of the opposition. In Kiev, their numbers have been as high as 200,000, despite daily temperatures below freezing. The protests have generally been orderly and nonviolent. In the east and the south, several governors declared that they would seek autonomy or even secession from Ukraine if Yushchenko were to be declared the winner. Many government functionaries, however, from various institutions, have declared their support for a free and fair process. The Ukrainian military and troops of the Ministry of Internal Affairs have thus far refrained from using force, though there were credible indications that government officials were, at one point, preparing to crack down on protesters. As the crisis has grown, so too have the efforts to resolve it. International mediation efforts were begun by Polish President Kwasniewski, Lithuanian President Adamkus, EU High Representative Solana, and the OSCE Secretary General, Mr. Kubish. A roundtable framework for negotiations was set up to include Yushchenko, Yanukovych, President Kuchma, Rada Speaker Litvin, and the European mediators. Russian Duma Speaker Mr. Grislov joined those discussions at some points. The roundtable produced an agreement that included an opposition promise not to block government buildings and renewed pledges from both sides to refrain from violence, reform electoral legislation, and preserve the country's territorial integrity. On December 3rd, as you know, the Supreme Court announced its decision holding that there had been significant fraud in the second round, declaring the vote invalid, and ordering a new vote on December 26th. The RADA continues to debate revisions to the election law to prevent the identified problems and weaknesses from recurring in a repeat of that second round. This morning, roundtable and other negotiations continue. The talks involve complex and difficult issues, and the assessment I can provide you could quickly be overtaken by events. As we understand the latest development, the sides have agreed in principle to the appointment of new Central Election Commission members and revisions of the electoral law. They may also have tentatively agreed on a possible date for implementation of changes to the Constitution, which would shift powers from the presidency to the RADA and to the Prime Minister. A sticking point appears to be the question of Prime Minister Yanukovych and his ministers remaining in office following the RADA's no-confidence vote. We believe both sides have probably come too far not to reach some kind of final agreement, but as I said, negotiations are complex and ongoing. From the many obvious problems in the election, a number of specific lessons emerged that would be helpful in reducing or avoiding fraud in the next election. First, the absolute necessity of maintaining or increasing the number of domestic, international election observers, particularly those from the OSCE. Strengthening legal protections for domestic observers, developing strict controls on absentee and mobile voting and on registration lists, strengthening independence and transparency of election commissions, increasing penalties against those who intimidate party activists and voters and against those who engage in fraud, providing greater media access for the opposition, and ensuring independent media outlets are protected against government harassment, strengthening public commitment of national leaders and regional and local officials to free and fair election processes. Ukraine's leaders must lead by word and by example. And finally, ensuring that the international community is focused on the revote, especially given that it takes place the day after Christmas. Now, we understand, Mr. Chairman, that some of the most important of these lessons have been incorporated into the electoral law revisions that are currently being considered by the Ukrainian RADA and in the negotiations, though their effectiveness would ultimately depend clearly on implementation. Let me say a word about United States policy. The primary focus of U.S.-Ukrainian relations over the past year has been on the presidential election. Over a period of many months, the United States and our European allies repeatedly advised Ukrainian authorities, both publicly and privately, that we were watching the election closely. We considered it a test of Ukraine's commitment to democracy. The United States funded assistance to independent media, political party development, voter awareness, and education, training for election officials and observers, and more. Our election-related assistance to Ukraine was approximately $13.8 million. Of particular note, the United States funded what we believe was an unprecedented election observer effort. As Senator Lugar noted, we have now submitted a congressional notification of $3 million to provide funding for election-related activities in the revote on the 26th of December. Given the fast approaching date, we hope the obligation can be acted on quickly. Beginning last February, a wide range of senior U.S. officials and prominent private citizens visited Ukraine, carrying a strong message about the importance of democratic election to Ukraine's Euro-Atlantic integration. These included Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, Deputy Secretary of State Armitage, former President Bush, former Secretaries Albright and Kissinger, many congressmen and senators, including Senator Lugar. The President, as Senator Lugar has testified, asked him to return in November as his personal representative to deliver a letter to President Kuchma and to personally observe and comment on the conduct of the voting. The White House and the State Department over the last months have issued numerous hard-hitting statements on the situation in Ukraine. Secretary Powell has spoken often to President Kuchma, to Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, Polish President Kwasniewski, EU High Representative Solana, and many others. President Bush has made known his strong support and deep appreciation for the mediation efforts of the European leaders. We and our NATO and NATO allies are united in support of democracy in Ukraine. We have reiterated our unwavering support for Ukraine's territorial integrity and our complete rejection of separatist initiatives. We have called on all parties to avoid violence, confrontation, and unhelpful rhetoric. We've asked them to work constructively toward a peaceful and just resolution of the impasse that truly reflects the will of the Ukrainian people. As President Bush has said, our common goal is to see the will of the Ukrainian people prevail. As for Russia, we have discussed repeatedly with Russian officials our concern over the conduct of the Ukrainian campaign and the elections and the role of Russian citizens in that process. We have consistently encouraged the Russian government to join other OSCE member states in organizing common monitoring and mediation activities to promote a free and fair election that reflects the will of the Ukrainian people. We have urged them to refrain from any activities that could limit Ukraine's ability to choose freely. As Secretary Powell said this morning in Sofia, Bulgaria, at the OSCE ministerial conference, you can have friends to the east and to the west. It is not a matter of sphere of influence. It is a matter of allowing a country to choose how it wishes to be governed and who it wishes to have as its friends. The crisis in Ukraine remains far from final resolution, Mr. Chairman, so it is difficult to predict its long-term impact on other countries in the region. Democracy in the countries of the former Soviet Union has lately had its ups and downs. If in the end a democratic process prevails and there is a result in Ukraine that reflects the will of the Ukrainian people, it could have a potentially major impact for the development of democracy in the region. It is in the interest of everyone to see Ukraine develop into a democratic, market-oriented nation with good relations with all its neighbors and with other members of the European and Euro-Atlantic communities. The stakes in the outcome of this Ukrainian crisis thus could hardly be higher. Over the long term, U.S. strategic interests have remained steady for more than a dozen years. They will continue to do so regardless of the outcome of this election. The United States wants to see Ukraine develop as a secure, independent, democratic, and economically prosperous country that increasingly draws closer to European and Euro-Atlantic institutions. U.S. policies toward Ukraine for the period following the presidential election must be properly calibrated to provide an appropriately positive or negative immediate response to the election while furthering our long-term strategic interests in Ukraine and the region. We want to encourage Ukraine to maintain its peacekeeping contingents abroad, including in Iraq, Kosovo, and other peacekeeping operations. But we will not allow those deployments to become reasons to excuse or ignore democratic shortcomings in Ukraine. Our bottom line is this. We are prepared to work closely with any candidate who wins in a free and fair contest that meets international democratic standards. We also are prepared to move quickly on a number of issues of importance to Ukraine. At the same time, if the repeat election once again fails to meet democratic standards, there will be consequences for our relationship, for Ukraine's hopes for Euro-Atlantic integration, and for individuals responsible for perpetrating fraud. This includes consideration of further use of Presidential Proclamation 7750, which denies visas to individuals engaged in corrupt and anti-democratic activities. Mr. Chairman, in conclusion, let me say again that the United States wants a secure, independent, democratic Ukraine. A democratic election on November 26, whose outcome reflects the will of the Ukrainian people, would be a very important step in this direction. The administration is committed to helping Ukraine achieve this goal and looks forward to working with whoever wins in a free and fair process. Thank you very much for allowing me to appear before the committee today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.